Well, tonight I wanted to talk about something that's been on my heart even before I went into the Word to look at it. And I think we've all been guilty of this. And first, let me give you the title of the sharing. It's called Say What You Mean and Mean What You Say. Okay? And I'm sure you've heard that one before. Now, I've been looking at how we say things such as our greetings to one another, using words that seem to have lost their true meaning and are spoken out of habit than wholeheartedness. My example is this, and I'll use my workplace as the example. Many days, as a matter of fact, just about every day goes by where someone's walking by and they go, "What's up?" And you would think the person would stop and let them know what's going on. No, they keep on going, walking past them, right? So I've seen that enough where I scratched my head and said, what's wrong with this world? And then the other thing you hear a lot of times is, how you doing? No stopping. They just say that. As a matter of fact, somebody says to me, "Hey, Al, what you been doing?" Gone. Really? Really? So I'm going to share on an article I found concerning this kind of behavior or lack thereof that I think it's best that I just read it because it was well done. It was well done. The author is unknown, but that's not important. And I read on just that dilemma, and I trust it will shed some light on what the Apostle Paul, as we'll see, and the greeting of grace and peace he expresses meant to the believers. So let me go there. And I trust that you guys will enjoy this. Today, our written communications with other people are so hurried, so instant, think about texting, email, or social media, that we rarely, if ever, deeply consider our words' impact and meaning. I just gave you an example. But personal communications weren't always that way. They weren't, especially when we go to the Word. Writers in the early times often put a great deal of thought into the words they used. The Bible is filled with many such examples, as we will see. A particularly notable one is the greeting the Apostle Paul uses in each of his letters to the church congregations preserved for us in the Bible. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, as it goes many, many times. Paul uses this same greeting in the first few verses of each of his letters to the churches, and he uses the same or a very similar greeting when writing to individuals such as Timothy and Titus. It probably stirs up your memory reading these things and seeing them. What did Paul mean by this greeting? Since he uses the same words in each of the letters that bears his name, we should pay close attention to them and what they meant to Paul as well as to the immediate audience. We needed a Paul at the post office so he could stop people and say, "Hey, listen." While Paul's words are similar to the common greetings used in letters among Greek speakers and writers of his day, he had actually coined a new phrase that was infused with deep meaning. With a minor tweak, to common wording and some key expansion, he conveyed some great spiritual truths that hold profound significance for Christians 2,000 years ago as well as today. Let's examine these more closely. The first one, as we heard, is grace to you. Grace to you. Gordon Fee, professor of the New Testament Studies and an author of many scholarly volumes on the Bible, writes regarding Philippians 1:2, and I'll read that for you. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, the New International Commentary on the New Testament, the traditional greeting in the Hellenistic world was charin, meaning simply greeting. In Paul's hands, this now becomes charis, and we know that's grace, okay? To which he adds the traditional Jewish greeting shalom, which means peace. In the sense of wholeness or well-being. Thus, instead of the familiar greeting, Paul salutes his brothers and sisters in Christ with grace to you and peace. Now, these were not unusual words, but Paul filled them with a new and deeper significance. He greeted his fellow believers with grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ. This transcended the common greeting and was exclusively Christian. Grace, as Paul stated, came from the God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. Paul understood that it is a divine attribute, a uniquely Christian concept not found in any other religion and belief system. And this is outside of Christianity and Judaism. No other religion taught of a God who loves, accepts, and forgives human beings, not based on anything we do, but in spite of what we do. God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son lavish their love on human beings because that is who and what they are. God is loved. God's love is personified. If you want, you can go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loves not knows not God, for God is what? Love. If you want to go to 1 John 4, 16, another verse, 1 John 4, 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. In many ways, grace summarizes God's interaction with humankind and the message of the gospel or good news. Paul begins his letters with an unmistakable message that God is a God of grace. So Paul brings greetings of grace to the churches of God to which he wrote. In context, he is saying to them, may God's abundant and loving grace be with you all. I'd like to hear that a lot these days from people that I don't know. The apostle well knew that God has reached out to us in grace. As he wrote, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. As the Apostle John wrote, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says that, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in John 1:17, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 3:16 adds, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Through the sacrificial death of his only begotten Son, God forgives our sin and reconciles us to himself. I'm all yours, Dad. I'm all yours. Come get me. God did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Romans 8:32 in the NLT says, he that spared not his own Son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What do you need in your life? What do I need in my life? If you say money, that's been said a million times, but if you want help in increasing your understanding of the Father and our Lord and Savior, to reach out to others with that information, my God, God's got plenty of that for us. God freely gave his only Son, and Jesus freely gave his own life. John 10, 17 and 18. Therefore does my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No, man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father, doing his Father's will. This supreme love is called grace. It's simply called grace. Grace is the giving of every good thing to those who of themselves deserve nothing. Now we've got peace. Peace, and what about it? What about the next part of Paul's readings of grace to you and peace? What is the significance of his mention of peace? We're certainly more familiar with the word peace than grace. Peace is a common word usually used in the sense of the opposite of a war. As wars rage and threaten nations around the world, we regularly hear of the need for peace. Where are they going to receive that peace? The world? They're being back in square one. But what did Paul have in mind in using this word? Well, being Jewish, Paul was very familiar with the Hebrew word shalom, meaning peace, used more than 200 times in the Bible. It was a common Hebrew greeting then and still is today. But shalom wasn't a vague wish of greeting or of simply all going well for a person. In Hebrew, with regard to God, it meant being reconciled to God and having God's peace in one's heart. That's the peace we want. This is something every person badly needs. Worries and fears prevent many from having this inner peace. I don't know how many times I had to tell my mom, stop worrying so much, Mom. You're not making things better, you're making things worse. Mm-hmm. She would nod at me and says, you're right. And sin separates us from God. Let's look at Isaiah 59:2, please. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid, his face from you, that he will not hear. Whoa. Creating conflict between us and him. It robs us of joy and peace with God. Go to Psalms 51:10. Psalms 51:10. God's instructions and advice and wisdom are so clear and so life-giving. We just need to do them, not just read them. In Psalm 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. It cost us nothing, and it cost him everything, but he did it because he loves us, and that's the grace of God in action. Paul was referring to an inner peace, a sense of well-being and wholeness as he wrote this greeting. This peace he wrote came from God the Father and Jesus Christ. He understood that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and this grace in which we stand. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Paul was referring to that inner peace. Okay? So it is actually a peace from God and a peace with God. Okay? It's a peace from God and with Him. Paul mentions grace first and then peace for good reason. Because peace flows from grace. Peace flows from grace. We receive well-being and wholeness after having received grace from God. This peace is a profound gift from God. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. Paul wrote that Christ is our peace. Look at Ephesians 2:14. Two words that have a humongous impact on our lives, starting with grace. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. God set it up so that there's nothing in between us, in between us and him. Granted, we want to go through Jesus Christ, knowing what he's accomplished. Through him and his sacrifice, we have peace with God. That peace should permeate every aspect of the life of a Christian. "Be anxious for nothing," Paul wrote, "but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:7. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Paul's repeated greetings, we see that the source of true grace and peace is both God the Father and the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Both are the source of divine grace and peace. Again, this is something that the world cannot give you or does not know how to give you if they don't go to God and steer you in the same direction they're looking at. But we know that much. You will after tonight if you don't. And you have that peace to solidify your stability. Something that we can stand on that don't crumble when a storm hits, right? And why? Because why? God wants us to be prepared in a good way so that we're smiling, not going, "Yeah, I guess I can do this." You know? And you're going to bless a lot of people out there. Every opportunity that comes around, you first remember you were given a chance through God's grace. But it's peace with him is what makes our life so much less hectic and getting rid of the anxiety and all the other stuff. We want peace. Not the little round circle with that little fork thing in the middle. We want the peace from our Father. Unlike greetings in that day sent in the names of the pagan gods and goddesses, Paul sent Christian believers greetings of grace to you and peace from the true God, the one source of true grace and peace. Paul pointed to them the grace and the peace available through God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. Again, as Professor Fee notes in his commentary on Philippians 1:2, in a profound sense, this greeting therefore nicely represents Paul's larger perspective. The sum total of God's activity toward his human creation is found in the word grace. Grace. God has given himself to his people bountifully and mercifully in who? Christ Jesus. So it behooves each and every one of us to shake our head every now and then and say, "Thank you, Father, for this great grace you give us." I'm not saying you don't do that. But the peace that it affords me to live my days with that great, great harmony with what the scriptures say and who we are in Christ. And so I trust that this is a pleasant reminder for us all to know that whenever we see those words, grace and peace be with you, it's not just some common word. It has great significance, as it did with Paul back in the day. And it should today. Okay? So, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful reminders and how we are to conduct our Christian lives, Father, and how we are to reach out to those who are searching and don't seem to know where to turn to. Father, you never turn on us, so help us to have them turn to you, Father, with great, great expectancy in their lives, and they can see your mighty love working for them as it does for us. So I pray for each heart in this room here tonight that if your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, were to come back right now, we would still have the grace and peace in our hearts to look forward to life eternal. But until then, we have stuff to do for you, Father, and for one another. So I pray again for that great godly motivation in our lives and to carry it out every opportunity we get. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen.